Good morning, church. Are you ready to sing and to praise the Lord this morning? Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you once again that we can be here. And Father, let us never take that for granted that we have the opportunity, we have the freedom to be here, to peaceably assemble in the name of Jesus. So Father, we're going to take advantage of that this morning. We're going to press into you, to your throne room. And so, Father, as we worship you now in spirit and in truth, we thank you once again for just meeting us here like you always do, giving us an awesome time of praise and worship. And this we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey. But to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love unto all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Verse 4 is so good. But we never can prove the delights of His love unto all, not some, but all on the altar we lay. I was sitting there thinking about when God tested Abraham and He said, I want you to sacrifice your son, basically your son, your only son, the son of promise. Give him to me. You know, his heart must have been so heavy beforehand. But then, and the joy He bestows are for them that will trust and obey afterwards to be able to say, God tested me. I passed the test. Indeed, trust and obey.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied. Earth and heaven be one.
Amen.
My glory and the voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. My glory and the lifter of my head, hallelujah. My glory and the lifter of my head, amen. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. My glory and lifter of my head, hallelujah. My glory and lifter of my head, amen. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. My glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. My glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. Something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you this very day. Something good is going to happen to you. Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. Something good is going to happen to me. Happen very day. Something good is going to happen to me. Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. Something good is going to happen to us. Happen to us this very day. Something good is going to happen to us. Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. Something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you this very day. Something good of Nazareth is passing this way.
Every day, and though I tread a darksome path, you
feel sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Who in his sorrow bears a part when none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. See Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you. Worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise. For you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
You know, someday when we stand before God, it's not going to be our works that saves us. It's the blood of Jesus, and He's going to clothe us in righteousness, His righteousness, not anything of our own doing. And that's why the song says, "For you are my righteousness." Let's sing this one more time.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Jesus.
Christ who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Indeed, he is worthy.
Shine on me. Shine.
Amen.
And let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy he has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us come, before his presence with singing. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And declare that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. For great is our God, and greatly is he to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heavens and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Colossians 3:1 it says, as we reason with Christ, let us seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let us set affections on things which are above, and not things of this earth. Hallelujah. Let us lay for ourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth and the rust will not corrupt it, and the thieves will not break in and steal it. Hallelujah. Let us honor the Lord today with our substance and with the first fruits of our increase, that our vats will be filled with plenty, and also the vats will flow with new wine. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that we are going to give to the work of the Lord. We're going to give with gladness, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Oh Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for blessing everyone that has given to this ministry. Many blessings upon them, and we thank them right now, and we are going to bless them, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that they will realize that they have given for a good cause. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for blessing every giver today. And we give you all the praise today and the glory. We pray for the touching upon the pastors. He will bring the message to us. Anoint him mightily. Give him the freedom to preach. And let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword. And Lord, we thank you. Touching everyone that gives a testimony with the anointing, we pray, Lord, and the freedom to share what the Lord our God has done. Touch Thomas as he gives the invitation, we pray in the name of Jesus, and let your name be glorified. And Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today, and pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And all God's children said, amen.
At this time, the people at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church are giving their tithes and offerings as part of the worship service. You too can participate even if you're not physically with us by writing out a check and mailing it, or using the donation link at the bottom of the homepage. Please remember that God uses His people to finance His work on this earth. God gives us the ability to work and make money, and in return asks that His people give back a tenth. Thank you for being obedient and being part of our service.
As we've been looking the last week, actually the last couple of days, of what's happening in Japan, it is obvious that God is trying to get our attention. And the judgment of the United States continues as wild weather has plagued the Midwest, the South, and the Eastern states. Thousands of people have lost their homes, and many businesses have been destroyed. Now, we've been sitting here in Northern California, and we haven't had any problems this winter. And it is easy to forget that we've had storms, we had floods, tornadoes that has hit the Midwest and the South, and people's homes have been destroyed. There's been a massive destruction across the board. If we look upon the earthquake that happened in Japan, it reminds me of the book of Revelation. As you saw those waves coming in, the tsunami coming in, apartment houses up to 3 or 4 stories high, they just were swept away and just crumbled, an enormous amount of energy. And we're most likely going to have tens of thousands of people are going to be killed, have been killed already in Japan. I'd like to read to you from Matthew chapter 24, and just verses 5 through 8. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, where there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. In North Africa and the Middle East, there still is turmoil, and things have not quieted down. Earthquakes have devastated Chile, Indonesia, New Zealand, China, and then we had this monster quake this week that caused such great damage in Japan. Just a few months ago, we had a great flood in Australia. And I don't think that we can even begin to comprehend that. But it was a whole state got flooded. And much was destroyed. Wars are raging in Africa. Getting little attention. Since there are too many other stories to cover. There are too many disasters happening too fast. And the question is, when is a church of Jesus Christ going to wake up and repent? And how can an unrepentant church lead sinners to Christ? A few weeks ago, I was sick, and I realized that if you lose your health, you really haven't got anything. And I thought about that in the greatest Sacramento area right now, there are thousands of people in different hospitals that are fighting for their lives. They have cancer. Others have diabetes. Others have different kind of diseases. And there's a constant crisis among people. Each one of us are going to face crises in our lives. If you're married, the time will come when you will lose a spouse. And this is something we don't really prepare for. And other people, just their life just continue on, you know, it doesn't mean anything. There's going to be loss of children, and a number of different things will happen. And the question is, are we going to seek the Lord and repent? The earthquake in Japan happened so fast and so furious that there was nothing that could be done. And I believe that we are now in a period of time. It is just a question of when the next disaster is going to hit. And we're going to be just as unprepared as people in Japan. And there's only one thing to do to prepare. And that is, first of all, to make sure that you're born again, that you are saved. Secondly, that you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, that you are making every day count in your Christian life. You see, the day will come when you might be gone, you might have a disease, there might be a car accident, whatever it is, and suddenly life is stopping for you, and you realize, why did I not do more when he had the opportunity? Let's pray that the church will repent and seek the Lord before it is too late. In Northern California, we've had it good. Nice winter, enough rain to fill our reservoirs, no flooding, sunshine between. We haven't had any pain, have we? But disaster can strike any time. We had to be ready in Jesus. Praise the Lord, and I pray that you will think about what I spoke, and that you will prepare your heart so you are ready. God bless you. We're going to have our prayer time at this time. And I'm going to read the prayer request we have here today. We're going to pray for Daniel Fredrickson, a prisoner on death row at San Quentin. He has contacted our ministry some time ago in the process of ministering to him. At the visit with him in January 2011, I was able to lead him to Christ. And he is currently studying Christian Dynamics 1, and there will be more visits to him. He had his gallbladder removed a month ago and is going back for surgery. We're going to pray for him. Now, we got a praise report here. We had a church pray for Daniel Terrell this week. And the cough has disappeared pretty much. And so the cough is subsiding. And this week to be determined if he needs to have a surgery. We're going to pray for him today also. Al Norberg is gradually losing his eyesight. At this point, he's almost blind, macular degeneration. According to his eye doctor, there's nothing they can do. They're preparing him to accept the fact in a short time he will be blind. Despite his age of 95 years, God can still heal him. Let us pray for a creative miracle so that he will be able to get his eyesight back. Now, the oil market this week was driven by fear. Millions of dollars were made from this fear. This week, the oil prices started to fall since there is no oil shortage. And investors realized that they could get burned. But when shooting started in Saudi Arabia against protesters, the price of oil rose at once. However, it closed down at 101.16 per barrel, which means it went down $3.36 since last week. Now, the economy is weak in China, which means less oil will be consumed in China. With the earthquake in Japan, oil consumption is going to be less for a while. This will put pressure on oil prices. Let us keep praying for the destruction of the speculators' madness, that the price of oil will stabilize. Only God can do that. This is from the brother in Christ we have that lives in the island, in the Caribbean island. His name is Sheldon. And his wife goes to a church that is pretty much like Todd Bentley church, where they are running around, twirling, falling, twitching. And he wrote this the entire week. I was wrestling with this conversation I had with a lady in the church. But now I'm certain this is not where I should be. If this woman was really hearing from God, she would have known I was saved. But it seemed to me also that she was attacking my intelligence and trying to bring me to their level of worship. I think that I will have this problem in all of the Pentecostal churches on the island, since they all pursue this format of worship. For now, I will concentrate on my deliverance and continue to follow you on the internet. I'm very worried about my wife and my children as well, but I'm asking if you can pray for us. I will do some praying myself. And this man's name is Sheldon. We're going to pray for him today. We also have a verbal prayer request this week. Matter of fact, tomorrow, Thomas Burns and a group of other contractors are put in a bid, a huge bid. And we're going to pray today that that will go through so they will have their project. So those of you that are praying with us, come on up.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your concern for all people, even the ones who haven't known you yet. But we thank you right now for Daniel Fredrickson over there in San Quentin. We know he's got a pretty rough life right now, but he has been set free by salvation. We thank you so much that Pastor John went over there and was able to comfort him and lead him to salvation. And we pray right now for Daniel to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, who is right there with him. And we pray for assistance in his surgery that he's going through, and that he would have a successful surgery and come out praising God for the healing touch.
Father God, lift up Al Norberg to you, Lord, and thank you that he received Christ a few years back, and that now he's at this crossroad, Lord, and he needs to decide whether he's going to accept that blindness or whether he's going to reject it. And I thank you, Father God, you give him the strength and the presence of mind, the wisdom, the knowledge to know how to go forward. And Father God, we thank you that he will take time, even at 95, to study the Word, to begin to acknowledge what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is a lie, and not to bow to men's wisdom, but to go forward with God. So we lift him up to you, Lord, that he's going to be productive, able to see, and moving forward in God's kingdom, and not to waste any more time, but that he'll be on target the rest of his days. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I know you're not a respecter of persons, and I know the situation with the oil prices in the world, Lord God. It's a situation where you're not going to stand by and listen to lies and stealing and all kinds of other things going on in this world, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you'll intervene on behalf of America and oil prices throughout the world. And Lord God, I pray that you will cause these prices to continually fall, And things, the prices will actually be better than what they're forecasting for this summer. They're talking about the prices, people talking about the prices being $4. Well, we would like to see that $2, Lord God. So I just pray, and I see the things that you're doing throughout the world, Lord God, and the situations that are transpiring. Lord, I know that you are in control and that you are taking care of business in heaven. And I praise you for that, Father God. And I praise you that you're going to take care of the situations. And I'm praising you, Father God, on this side of the Jordan, thanking you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to show me how to pray for Sheldon and his wife. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for putting in Sheldon's heart the desire to pray without ceasing, to pray for the church, to pray for his wife, that she will realize that there is a deception there. They are in the false religion. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you pull her out of that and be in one accord with her husband, and want to be through deliverance herself, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let them both agree. Let them both be in one accord, in unity. And, Lord, and serving the living God, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let Sheldon, Lord, pray without stop, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Pray for his wife that she will, God will give her the discernment to see the wrongdoing of that church. We pray also for that church also. Again, I want to repeat that. Pray for that church that they will see the truth, and the truth shall set them free. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord. I pray for victory in that family. And we give you, I pray this in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen and amen.
Father God, we want to thank you with all our hearts for hearing our prayers, a little Daniel Terrell, in that you healed him of the cough, that you took away the cold or whatever he had, Father God, and you will build up his immunity and build him up so that he will not get sick again like that. But Father God, he was possibly left with a hernia, and it could be very serious, Lord, and this is something that we're going to lift up to you. And all in unity, we're going to expect and ask you for a creative miracle, for a supernatural miracle of healing for little Daniel. That his, wherever the hernia is, you know where it is, Lord God. And the doctors don't know yet. But Father God, we pray that by the time the doctors see him, they won't be able to find one, because you'll already have healed him. And we believe that, we have faith for it, and we trust you for it, Lord God. And we thank you and praise your name, glorify you, Lord, for your mighty works that you do with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we lift up Thomas Burns Plasting to you right now. And Lord, you know that he needs a huge project, Father God, to take the company to another height. And we thank you, Father God, that tomorrow, when the bid is going to be opened up, Lord, that you have been there, it's been decided before the creation, that this group of contractors, Father God, will get the bid. There'll be no taking down of prices, Father God, that will get the good price, Lord. So that, Father God, each one of these contracts will prosper and move on. And we thank you, Father, that next week we will have a great praise report with Thomas Burns, when he would say the contract is ours and we are starting in the future very shortly. And we thank you, Father God, that this is a done deal in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you right now that every prayer has been spoken here has been heard now. And we love you, Lord, and we praise you now greatly. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated.
Okay, we're going to take a minute for testimonies, but I'd like to put in a little plug for that book one that is in print right now. I don't know about you, but for me, I've had it on my desk, and I get a chance sometimes to look at it, but I do something else. But I've been starting hitting it pretty hard to read book number one, and I think it's if you can find the time, you're really going to be blessed by that reading. So if you can, push some other things aside and get into that book. It also, to me, it's going to be valuable to have that in me and also in print, because I do believe that there's a day coming when you're, when all the good stuff that is available on the internet will probably be censored. So get it, put it in your library, or build a library. Now's the time to build a good library. So, okay, any testimonies? Okay, Lois?
Well, the last time I gave a little testimony, it was about witnessing to some doctors, and I have continued to do that as I meet these new doctors. And it's, nobody has succumbed yet, but I'm praying for them, and time will tell. But and the Lord opened another way for me to witness. I don't see a lot of people during the week. I'm very busy, and I'm limited in how many contacts I make. So I've been upset because I can't witness to people if I'm not with people. And so I asked the Lord to show me other avenues that maybe I'm missing, I'm not paying attention to, that I could carry on a witness there. And so lately I've been getting all kinds of scam, like I've won $2 million, $3 million. They come like bunches. And I mean, you know that's not real. And they're all scams. I tested out a couple just to be sure, but they're not real. And I tear them up and throw them away. Well, lately I've been trying to get started with an internet business, and I have a couple of things that might work out, I hope. But I also have been getting a lot of stuff from these sorcery, witchcraft, you name it. It's weird. I've been getting mail from these. Somebody's says, I'm thinking of you, and you're going to get rich, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And I was tempted to do this and just throw them away and get them out of my sight. But then the Lord says, witness. Yeah. So I gathered them together, these wicked, wicked papers, and I started to pray over them and cast and bind demons and cast out demons and bind, you know, break curses and so on. And then I wrote a very nice letter telling them all about Jesus and giving them scripture and treating them with kindness and instead of berating them, but letting them know how much their error is and where the remedy is. So that's my new one.
Morning, everyone. I wasn't going to come up today, but after hearing the message from Pastor John, I thought it might be helpful to everyone, but especially those of you that are watching overseas, for women particularly. I was going to tell them that if they once locked into Resurrection Life of Jesus at 10 o'clock, wherever they were, that the computer from then on would always go to, but I didn't convince them of that. Too bad we can't do that, really. Anyway, in South America, we should have Arlene looking and in the great Republic of Texas, Kathy's looking now, and Grace up in Oregon, and Gail in Utah, and Sandy in Washington State. And if you're watching, this is what I look like, you know. Right now they just see me as fingers on the Facebook, which, by the way, is a great ministry too, Lois. But I wanted to comment on deliverance. 16 years ago or so, when we first heard about this wild man on morning radio that not only preached the Word of God, but also knew a lot about what was going on in the world, I said, well, I'll get up at 6 o'clock or whenever it was and listen to, and I listened to Pastor Terrell for the first time. Well, you know, it was kind of like, that's my kind of guy, you know, all man, you know, fearless. And so we started going there. And I came there with my problems that had been covered up most of my life, like most of us. You find a way to do so. But I didn't fool Pastor Terrell, even though it's taken him another 16 years to get some more answers. And I needed answers, but I didn't want to admit it because I had this persona built up. I'm tough. I fight the communists. I'm fearless. I've been in war and everything. But inside, it wasn't really all that simple. So we talked about deliverance, or rather he did. And I said, yeah, well, I'm cool with that. You know, I'm trained. I've been trained by the best in psychopolitical warfare and brainwashing, and I'm cool. And the truth was, I knew enough about that I wasn't going to let anybody get me to admit anything in public, because that's the standard method by which brainwashing is accomplished, either one-on-one or with a nation. Once you confess in front of a group of peers when they're not Christians, then you're now a victim of that group. So having all that background, at the same time, Jerry, who was also at the same time doing that, and he'd been trained in interrogation, so he had the same kind of problem. But finally, Pastor John said to me, well, you really need to do this. You need to really clean up some of those things in there. Well, some of the things you come with when you come from my background is, it just made me so mad when somebody said, I'm the sheep of his pasture. I said, I'm not a sheep. I'm tough, you know. It took a long time to get over that, because I am. Especially when I read that book, The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and you see how stupid sheep really are. But, you know, that defines each and every one of us. Without the Holy Spirit and without the salvation of the blood of Jesus, that's what we are. So one night, and Pastor John was staying over, and he said, well, why don't you just come down? We'll just kind of talk about it. I said, well, that's safe. And I went down, and the two of us were alone in the church, and I just started talking to him. And pretty soon I was talking quite a bit. It's unusual. But I began to say things that I didn't know that I knew. They were so buried. I didn't know that. I didn't realize the effect the things that my father did. He was a fine man in many ways. But I never felt worthy around him. I always felt like I wasn't able to stand up to his manhood, being a boxer and all that. And I told you on that, I didn't know that I even thought that, but way back when I was almost 19, I kept putting in requests to go to the combat, to go to war. And of course the older guy said, what's the matter with you, kid, you know? But it came out from my mouth when I was speaking with him 16 years ago, that I want to go home, I'm going to go over there, I want to come back with ribbons or something, or dead, so my dad will know that I'm a real man, you know. And I did go, and we did have combat service and so forth. But I didn't realize that I thought that, and it just came out of my mouth. And I began to tell him everything that happened to me as a child between the age of 7 and 8, so many traumatic things happened. I had a sister. She passed away now, 10 years ago. But she and I both, you know, we were born in a little house in those days in Council Bluffs, Iowa. And my sister got scarlet fever, which was very pronounced back in those days. it was undetected. My mom asked some questions to people. Well, oh, it's just a rash, you know. She was hours old, basically, or a day or so. But it wasn't. It was scarlet fever, and by the time it was discovered, she had suffered a lot of brain damage. So I grew up in my early days, always with my hand holding my sister. My mom always said, you watch her carefully. And so we had that situation for several years. And my dad was very, very, very disturbed by this. Because he was, after all, he was Earl. He was a very good-looking guy, even a boxer. He could sing Irish tenor. He could do anything. And it bothered him a lot. And I used to hear those conversations. And one day, between the age of 7 and 8, they went somewhere. And when they came back, my sister wasn't with them. And my mom cried for hours and hours and days and days. I only took her to Beatrice, Nebraska, to a good institution. But I didn't know that I thought this until I was just speaking with Pastor Terrell, and it came roaring out. I thought, I wonder when they'll leave and I won't come back. It's a real trauma. And since it's the first time I've ever really said like this, anything like this in public. And it's easier now. I couldn't have done this before. So now I'm tough. I'm cool. I got it made. But I don't any more than any of you do. And there's a number of other things. I told Pastor John, when I was 5 and 6 and we were really poor, we had to go down to the river and cut wood with cross saws and axes. And while we were there, we used to take 22s. Might get a squirrel, for dinner or something like that. But we'd take bottle caps. And I can put a bottle cap in a tree trunk 50, 60, 80, 90 feet away and hit it every time. My eyes were perfect. But between the ages 7 and 8, I started having problems. We moved to St. Louis, an awful, awful place. And the teacher sent home one day, said, I think Bob needs glasses or something because his grades have just gone nowhere. And then that, I won't go into that because I'm getting to, it's probably taking too long. But as a result of that, my dad said something that hurt me so bad in my soul. I didn't know it then. It hurt me all the way down to my toes. He couldn't stand the thought of that either, that a child of his wouldn't be perfect. And I don't say this out of disrespect. He just didn't know how to be a parent. He didn't know how to handle it. He was abandoned himself, by the way, at 7. His dad ran off. So that was it. And all at once, I realized that a lot of things happened to me between the age of 7 and 8. And Pastor John listened very carefully. He had a piece of paper on his desk. And he turns it over. He said, now, Ina and I were in big prayer for you tonight. Because I told her we were going to just talk. Because I know you're just going to talk about this. But we had an answer to prayer. And now I've just discovered it. Now, he turned the piece of paper over. And it said, emotional age, 8. Yeah. And those things happened to me between the age of 7 and 8. Now, at first I said, I'm cool, I'm good, I'm pretty smart, just, it hurt for a while, the emotional age 8. But the more I thought about it and left, I said, every time you make an emotional decision the rest of your life, you lose. We've lost thousands of dollars because we trusted people, we wanted to be nice and so forth, and you lose when you don't make rational, biblically oriented decisions based on facts and not on emotion. You lose. And that's what Satan does. If he can take anybody, and I don't know where to find the scripture, but I'll close with this. Pastor told me at the time that we know that Satan is not omniscient. Only God is omniscient. But he said something like this. I'm not sure the words aren't exact, but he said, but there is a mark or something that's on people with a destiny that God has a plan for. The enemies, the demon forces, know that. Or they can detect it in some way. And so you've been a target all of your life to keep you emotional. And so I wanted to say that and tell everyone that there, everything that you heard today is accurate. It does work. And since I've come back to the church, I have squirreled away several times from Soteris and from Pastor John, who said, it's time for a tune-up, Bob. You know, as a natural healer, to me, and I just saw this in the sermon today, it's the same as if your liver was cleansed once. You know, you ate the right foods, and your liver's continued cleansing, and your bowel and everything. And then the liver said, well, that's it. I did it once. And you continue to eat and pick up toxicity and so forth. So that's just a little illustration I thought of. So one of these days I might just let Soteris take me by the hand and give me a tune-up because I do need it. So this is it. I never said this in public, never thought I wouldn't have years ago. I said, no, I'm not going to look like a squirrely little eight-year-old. But so now you know. There's everything to what Pastor said. Thank you. God bless.
Well, the reason I'm up here today is I wasn't going to give a testimony, and I told it to Sister Ina, and she says, oh, you have to do that. You have to do that. That's beautiful. And I know it was the Holy Spirit, so here I am. Holy Spirit, you helped me give the words. A couple of months ago, I got a ticket going home from music practice, and there was a policeman one lane over, two cars back, that gave me a ticket when the camera went off. And so I had a camera ticket, and I had a policeman ticket. And anyway, time went by, and Friday, I can't remember which day, last week I had to go to court. And I felt that I had grounds. I felt like when I was halfway through the intersection, the light was still yellow. And so that wasn't an infraction in my mind. And so I went to court, told the judge I had to give a statement, wanted to give a statement, talked with the assistant district attorney, and she said, well, you have the right to a trial. You can either pay the ticket or call for trial. And I prayed real quick, and God said, don't have a trial, the policeman will win. And so I went to traffic school Saturday. And so I paid $521 plus $37 to the traffic school. And it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. I've never been so blessed in my life. And went into the school, and the black man that was the teacher is a preacher. And it turned out just beautiful. He started out slow, and I thought, oh boy, I gotta stay awake. Anyway, he started. It was absolutely wonderful class. And when we went in, there were two of us there, me and a young Spanish man about 19 named Jesus. And Jesus asked the teacher, can I take only 3 hours and come back for 2 hours another time because I get migraine headaches? And so when we went and sat down, I went to Jesus and I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed, and his headache went away. And he stayed for the whole class. So anyway, this man was excellent that gave the class. And he touched on so many things. And I have had a problem with it's a habit from Texas saying, oh, God, you know, like cursing God when something hits you real fast. And I've been trying to break that. I don't have a replacement. And this teacher says, look at yourself. Who am I? What do I want? What am I really? And he touched on what I needed. And so I believe now that my problem with, oh, God, is gone. But it was just a different class. I never expected anything that he said to be said. And so when the class was over, before it was over, he says, Jesus, how's your headache? He says, it's gone. And so I went to Jesus and I said, when the class empties and everybody's gone, I want you to go forward with me to the teacher. And he said he would. So this is what happened. And we went forward. And I let the instructor know that God had had me pray for his headache, and that's why it was gone. And I said, now you know God did that, Jesus, don't you? Yes. And do you really know Jesus? And we knew he didn't. So anyway, I turned to the instructor, and I said, this is it. Let's do it. And so he was brought into the kingdom. He was so sweet, such a sweet spirit. And so the instructor is going to plug him into a church and get him started with Jesus. But I had blessings all day long. It was just beautiful how God touched everything. And this man, when he was teaching, he brought up certain things. And so I told a testimony about Tatiana Lute. Her doctor had her license pulled. And so I took her children, Soteris and I took the children to the school for 8 months. And we finally, the Holy Spirit showed us that she was breaking the smaller laws of the land. And that's how this came up in class, Brigham and Smaller Laws of the Land. And he gave a biblical connotation on it and everything. And I said, we went to her, and she finally started asking us to take her to the doctor instead of her driving while she didn't have a license. And a week later, she had her license. So she was breaking the smaller laws of the land, and God changed it. But everything was just wonderful in that class. I never expected anything like that in a traffic school setting. But God blessed everything, everybody. It was just awesome. So I just want to thank him and praise him for blessing me through the whole thing.
I want to share a testimony. This is concerning the message that the pastor preached today. When we went to Greece, we met a family. They accepted Christ and they invited us one day over to their home. And this woman was pregnant. And it finished there after we left the country. I still kept contact with these people. I kept calling them and everything. And then this woman said to me that she was pregnant when we were talking with her and ministering to her. And then over the telephone, she says to me that I lost the baby, she says. I had a miscarriage. Then immediately came to me. I said, did you speak negative about the baby concerning your finances? In other words, complaining to the husband how we're going to be able to make it because we don't have the finances to do it and so on and so forth. And I said, you know what you did? I said, you cursed the baby because you were complaining. While the baby was in the womb, you were complaining that the baby was, that you could not afford the baby. And so, and this is what happened. They cursed the baby while he was in the womb, and that's why she had the miscarriage. And she admitted that. Yes, we did that, she said to me. But I'm giving you an example that the trauma that took place while the baby was in the womb, the baby was cursed, and that's why the miscarriage took place. That's an example because of the message that the pastor gave, that we can curse a baby while he's in the womb and cause it to have a trauma afterwards. But she lost the baby, in other words, and that's what I wanted to share.
Father God, thank you for this day and for the word, Lord, that we got here today. We thank you for our many blessings and also the ability to come and worship and to hear the word, Lord, and to have that freedom. And we thank you for all things. We ask your blessing upon us this week as we go our way. And you will lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.